How's it going, everybody, and welcome back to From the Sidelines. My name is Josh, and I am here with Chad, Devin, and Noah, and we're going to talk some sports today. If you haven't listened to any of our previous episodes, go ahead and do that. You can listen to those on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Got 72 episodes, so go ahead and go listen to them all. Obviously, in our last episode, we started with this new format here, and you can see our faces looking pretty, looking good. So if you want to go check that out, you can find that on YouTube at From the Sidelines Pod. If you want to stay updated on all FTS news, when we're releasing episodes, or just see us tweet some goofy stuff, go find us on social media at FTS Pod. And if you want to give us an email, you can email us at theftspod@gmail.com. Let's get into it, boys. So, obviously, Kentucky played last night. It was nail-biter, Reed Sheppard, 32 points, came in, game-winning shot. Unbelievable game. It was a headache, though. It was not fun. It was not enjoyable until the last shot, the very last shot. Basically, one-on-one, Reed versus Hubbard. Crazy game. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it was an awesome second half comeback. I mean, first half defense still plagued us, and we refused to start the first half and second half with our best players. So, I mean, we're just spotting the other team, like, you know, free 10 points between those two segments. But, I mean, once 17-28 mark in the second half, once we put Reed and Rob in and we let our best five go, I mean, it was a completely different ball game. Came back from, 13 down, I think, max. And, I mean, it should have been a pretty handily win. You know, the last minute was giving me an absolute heart attack. I don't know what was happening there. Hubbard went unconscious at three threes. Ugo wasn't interested in trying to win. So, I mean, it was a good thing Reed was clutch there at the end. But, I mean, I just wish we would play our better guys, you know, more. Like, just run our best five, run the trio of Reed, Rob, and Reeves. I mean, when they're on the court together, they outscore their opponents 135 to 102 per 100 possessions. So, I mean, I don't know why they've only played 162 minutes together. That's criminal. I mean, there's 40 minutes in a basketball game and they played 162 all season, and what are we doing? But maybe we'll figure it out by come March and we'll actually, you know, get some wins consecutively, so.
So it was, 17-28 in the second half when this game that me and Devin were watching, when all the correct starting lineup should have been out of Rob, Reed, Reeves, Adu, and Zvonimir. That is the best five that we have, that hands down. Granted, last night, Zvonimir, please put some weight on him. Give him a chicken, a steak, something. Please put some meat on his bones. I don't know what he could have done against Tolu. He was being absolutely thrown around like a rag doll. And I don't want to get started already on the fouls. We'll get into that later. But back to the Devin's point. I'm getting carried away. it should have always been that starting five. He took the stats right off of my notes. And there is no reason, 162 minutes when there is 40 minutes in a basketball game, Between that trio, and it should no longer be that way. It should no longer be that way. I want to see a max between those three of like 36 minutes, max. Maybe cut it down if someone's having a bad night and put someone out there. Not Wagner. We're not Wagner guys now because that guy almost cost us the game. But just somebody out there, and I think that would be good.
Big Z had a plus 22 yesterday, which is like unheard of for college specifically. But, you know, after I finished the game, took a Xanax, calmed down a little bit because I needed it. Not really. But it's a shame that the small Kentucky boy has to, you know, keep belling us out. The guy from London, shout out. But he gets like 30 a game. Not a game, but he scored 30 last night. He's always in double figures easily, if not 20. Can shoot it. He's a pretty good defender. And, you know, he's always, like, running the floor on fast breaks because of, like, a defensive turnover he causes. So he does it everywhere. He's my favorite player. And because he tries hard, he wants to win. He's the guy that consistently wants to win game in and game out.
No, yeah. I mean, going back to Big Z, obviously, he got thrown around by Tolu. I mean, you got to give him credit for trying, though. I mean, saw about a dozen times where he ended up on his ass. So clearly he was getting as physical as he could. He was just getting bullied a little bit. But, you know, you mentioned the plus 22. His plus minus this season has been insane. Like, if he's not scoring, I think he only had 2 points, but if he's not scoring, he's impacting somehow. Like, he's able to, you know, add obviously a ton of size on defense. So even if he's not blocking shots, he's able to affect shots. He's able to help out defensively. That's why I think we need to do a little more zone. Cal obviously had a couple plays last night where we did play zone. Got a steal on one of them the next time they scored on us. So I think we need to kind of start implementing that more and more, like we did a little bit last night, just to see how it goes in certain situations. Because obviously when we play man, ball screen defense is terrible. They don't know whether to come over and stick to their guy, or they don't know to switch, and then everybody looks lost. So I don't know. Do we go zone? Put Z in there in the bottom of the paint, see how that works. What do you guys think about the whole zone versus man-to-man?
So Cal obviously hates playing zone. And what annoys me is when we should definitely switch to it, and it should work, but, you know, a guy that shoots 20% from three, you know, makes one on him, then Cal's like, oh, didn't work, scrap it, go back to man and keep getting burned like we were before. So it's just annoying that when unlucky things like that happen, and then Cal's just like, see, told you. Like, no, keep going. He's not the mean always wins. It will always regress to the mean. So just give it more than one or two possessions, please.
I just want someone who can use two hands. That's all I want. That's all I want, boys. I think I watched no less than six or seven boards be given up offensively to Mississippi State because nobody would just clap their hands together and grab the ball. And Zvonimir had at least four or five rebounds like that on his own. I've never seen someone so tall who just tries to palm everything, where it's just, even if it's not in a location to palm. And everybody's doing the same thing. Like, I just want someone down there who is putting two hands up and getting boards. It was, we had six offensive rebounds. They had 13. But we can do it defensively because they had 21, we had 21. So I don't know if we forget how to use our hands past half court. I don't know if we're just used to flicking them instead of clapping them. But we need to figure it out. That's all I want.
No, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I'm about the only person that I have seen do that is Adu Thiero. He's a tank. He gets in there. He gets the boards. Justin Edwards has been doing a little more lately. Like I said last week's episode, he just needs to embrace that role and, you know, fight like crazy for those rebounds. But this is something that came to mind for me personally. Could you imagine this team if Oscar Tshiebwe had stayed another year? How do we think that dynamic would have worked? It's a hypothetical question, but it's got to think about it, you know, with the way our big men have been playing.
Our offense at that time ran through them. Yeah, that's just not – that wasn't for me.
I'd rather my stretching the floor. He would be way better, like, rebounding, sure, but – which I miss, I'll give him that. But I like the more versatile floor spacing. I think especially with our guards and the penetration we can get, I definitely think that's an advantageous roster change.
There are things that Zvonimir can do that Oscar couldn't, but those things far outweigh more to me than what Oscar could do. Like, I don't know if you're, like, it was archaic offense. Like, we were playing in the 70s when he was our focal point. It was hard to watch at times. It was like we were shooting, like, 8 threes a game or something. Like, something absurd. Like,
yeah.
And it's just, I don't want to go back to that. I miss the player, not the game. You know what I'm saying?
We got upset by St. Peter's for a reason. And
That is it.
Oscar had 30 that game, so, I mean, like, what?
Yeah, a million
Oscar
languages.
Did have 30. He tried. Yeah.
Million languages, and Chad was speaking facts right there. I don't disagree. But, like, that thought comes to mind sometimes when we're playing Ugo. I'm just like, he blocks shots, but what else does he do?
Blocks are completely overrated as well. So I mean,
you can develop Zvon Emir to what Oscar had. Maybe not as pure rebounding skill, but you can get the rebounding up from Zvon Emir and still get that kind of production. You can't teach the way Zvon Emir shoots to Oscar. You just can't.
Oh yeah, have you seen Oscar's form? Yeah, no shot.
Yeah, no.
No,
remember late towards the Stars game. Remember late of the season where he was starting to shoot corner threes for fun? Like, that was, oh gosh,
that was tragic. No, yeah, I agree. I think, and you know, the good thing about Big Z getting more minutes these past couple games, we can go back and talk about the Alabama game here for a little bit too. I think that only helps us come March. I think giving him more exposure is just gonna make our offense flow even more. He's gonna get more confident. He's going to start playing maybe a little more physical, maybe start going for those rebounds. You know, he could learn from Adu Thiero playing alongside him there. So with that being said, let's talk about that Alabama game. Justin Edwards, 28 points. He showed up. That was the guy that we were expecting all season long. Number one projected NBA draft pick. Yeah, it took him till February, but you know what? He had a good game for himself. So were you guys shocked by that?
I mean, I still am. Like, I mean, dude's a pumpkin. I mean, he wore the slipper fit one night. I mean, I guess. I mean, dude went unconscious, perfect from the field. Like, it's a once in a lifetime game. I mean, Thiero was playing just as well. Played over him, you know, against Mississippi State. I'd rather have Thiero in that slot come March. So, I mean, it was great. Sure, happy for him. Glad he had a good game, but. It's just, I'd rather have a Thiero in that slot.
Everyone has a good game every once in a while. It's obviously an outlier. I can go 10 for 10, you know, every once in a while. JK, not really. But, you know, he's not shown it. It just happened to be his game. It happens to everyone every so often. But, you know, I hope it works out for him. I hope he continues to get better because we'll need him. It's just he's not been that consistent guy that we've relied on all year. But it was nice to see him have that really good game. But I just wish he could be more consistent and, you know, so we could just rely on him more, have another weapon. That's all.
Yeah, I just think, like, you know, he scored 28 points against one of the worst defenses in the conference. Like, I mean, I'm gonna keep tempering my expectations until I see it consistently, and when he's putting up 3 points the next game or whatever, I mean, 18 minutes or something, zero, like, just not for me. I'd rather have like four guards out there, like put the Reeves at the four. I don't like Trey Mitchell comes back, but like anyone else, that's just he's just not for me.
Yeah. So when Trey Mitchell comes back, What would you think of the lineup of Rob Reed, Reeves, Mitchell, and Big Z?
It's fine. Probably would prefer Trey at the five and put Thiero at the four. But, I mean, I either of those combinations would be my two optimal lineups. I mean, we'll probably get to see him, what, 1 minute every game. So, I mean, it'll be hard to judge from in a large sample because Cal will not be interested in trying any of the optimal stuff. But, like, you know, fouling when you're up three, optimal, never going to do it, so... It's just hard when you just refuse to.
How many times are we going to let them
Dude lost a national championship because of that decision. And if that's not going to change your mind, I don't know what will. I mean, advanced analytics, statistics, personal anecdotal evidence, all three we're just going to ignore. It's hard. It's hard to justify.
No, it is. I agree. I mean, Cal said in his post-game interview that there was too much time left on the clock. How do we think that plays into it?
I'd rather foul the 55% three-point shooter that has the ball with 12 seconds left than give up Mark Hubbard a wide-open three because Ugo refuses to hedge a screen. Ice the screen. What are we doing? Bro must have been so scared of fouling because he already fouled. I don't know. You're 7 foot and you can block shots and you're playing 30 yards in deep in the paint. Ah, whatever. Reed made the shot. That's all. That last minute would have killed me if Reed didn't make that shot, so it's fine.
I stated last podcast that Cal just doesn't know how to manage time. He just does that. It's time after time after time again where it's one or two possibly costly mistakes where he's involving time and he's fouling when he shouldn't be. He's not knowing how to keep time going on the clock. He doesn't know when to hold it. He does not know when to hold it. why are we taking shots with 18 seconds left on the shot clock and there's like a minute and five? We can run that down, just something like, I don't understand why we play so fast-paced when we shouldn't, and we play slow-paced when we should. Like, it's just, please figure it out soon.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and wrap this up here. Based on the last couple games, obviously had the blowout against Alabama, 117 points, and then this game last night against Mississippi State. Confidence levels, have they gone up any, or were we still about the same?
We're still about the same.
Yeah, we're still the same. We're 5-4 in the last nine. Still, like, we're still like not past this hump. I don't know what it is now. Now I'm starting to think, well, maybe we can get out of it. Maybe that, because if I remember correctly, that 2012 team struggled in February, and then towards the last 2 weeks of the season or so, we were like, all right, we're figuring it out. So.
I mean, I think our best five can compete with anyone, but yeah. We just refuse to play them. So, I mean,
yeah. Play your best five, start your best five, and then start them at the second half as well. That's the moral of the story, folks. So let's move on from Kentucky here. Obviously, we had some big news in the college basketball world here recently. Duke versus Wake Forest. Now, I don't know if it's really worth it, but Wake Forest obviously decided to storm the court after beating Duke in a regular season basketball game. Congratulations. And during that, an incident occurred where, you know, Filipowski went down, claimed to have gotten hurt. He didn't eventually end up playing. But what do we think about the whole court storming situation? Do we think that's a danger to players on the court? Do we think we should keep it because it's, you know, it's a good moment. It's good for TV. It's good for media, you know, that kind of thing. What are our opinions on that?
Yeah, I just want to be the first to say I'm glad, you know, Filipowski's okay, right? And like, when you take a brutal shot like that, you know, it would be a shame if you were out 3 to 6 weeks. Oh wait, he's already back? Oh man, dang, I can't believe he played tonight. I thought for sure with the way Shire was carrying on, I thought for sure all the Duke people were telling me this guy was tore his ACL, man. I can't believe he's already back on the court. It's just Duke crybabies, you know, they need to suck it up. I mean, it's one of the best parts of college basketball. I don't know why they storm the court when they're a 3-point favorite. That's kind of weird, but I mean, that's a different issue completely. But at least, you know, now we got teams like Mississippi State throwing up on the Jumbotron with 4 minutes left. Stay off the playing area after the game, and they just embarrass themselves when they choke down the stretch. So I mean, it made for good comedy for us last night. So that was probably my favorite part. But all the potential solutions are just comical. It's just exposing the frauds. You know, it's one of the best parts of sports.
I will say, it's starting to get overdone for reasonings that are not needed. Like, there's no reason that we should storm the court when a 17 seed loses, or like a 15 seed. Like, we're just doing it to storm the court at this point because it's something fun to do after the game. That, I see, is kind of becoming an issue. I think we should figure out a fine line where, like, if it's a top five team, I would honestly even prefer just top three. Like, we need to slow down a little bit and realize, like, that is saved for big moments and big games. And, like, if we're number one seed and you beat us, yeah, go ahead, storm the court. But there's no reason it should be overdone like this.
Yeah, like the issue Devin was alluding to earlier, for these underdog teams, like, have some self-respect. Like, act like you've been there before. It's sure, it's a good moment that you beat, you know, a blue blood team or a team that's, you know, obviously better than you, but the guys on your team that's in that locker room, they believe they can win that game. And when they do win the game, like, don't act surprised. Don't act like heathens. Like, act like you've been there before. You have a chance to win the game when you step on the court. So if you do win, it's like, it's a good win. Celebrate it, but, like, you know, and again, and like the teams that the away teams, get off the floor. That's all I gotta say is, you know, it's coming. Get off the floor as quick as you can. Filipowski, glad you're okay. Don't feel bad for you though, because you were just standing there. You were like you know, Jyn Erso or whatever the girl is from Rogue One with the tidal wave coming at her. Just give it to me. He was not moving out of the way at all. So yeah, like. It's a stampede coming at you. Get out of the way.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think to Chad's point is, you know, when teams do that in situations where it's not necessary, you're basically just admitting you're inferior. So, like,
right.
What's the point of that? Especially in conference play, like you want to compete with the other teams and other schools in your conference year after year. You don't want it to just, you know, admit you're inferior like that. So I agree.
Oh, I would like to report Filipowski's stat line for such a hurt player for tonight's game. 9 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 block. But, you know, something must have been nagging him. Those 4 turnovers tonight must have been hurting him. So I'm sure
he's probably doing that for 30 minutes.
Yeah. 30 minutes.
Yeah, you think you'd be nursing that injury.
Golly, man.
Up 20 against Louisville. Still out there.
All right, so let's get moved on here. I want to bring up something that was kind of funny. Texted this in the group chat before we were recording. He decided to download some NBA 2K. We might talk about a little bit about our favorite sports video games, but Noah said he lasted about 15 minutes playing NBA 2K24. So that's an interesting stat line. Was that the line that we think it was going to be? Do we think 15 minutes was a line, or was that just really like way under what we would have thought?
No, 15 minutes was not the line. I thought I was going to go over that. I thought I wasn't going to be able to refund the game, at least. I thought I would have enough fun to get past there before I got annoyed. But I didn't. I didn't even get past the test build, 3v3 test, whatever it is, to where you can get your character. First of all, I shouldn't have to fill out an essay to put my attributes together to make my character. I shouldn't have to figure out what kind of build I want, when there's already predominantly made builds on the community builds, but they're terrible, apparently. You look that up on the internet, and they're saying, don't make community builds, they're trash. Well, okay, that doesn't seem very new user to me. Okay, I'm just gonna make a random build. I'll just mess around, put these stats together, see what I can get. I joined the game. Why am I moving like Jell-O? Why do I feel like I am moving in molasses? Why can I not get by my man? What is going on? I'm holding my trigger down and I can't get by you. What's going on? Let me do a dribble move real quick. Let me move around. Yeah. Let me use my analog stick real quick. Let me go behind the back. See, let me flick my analog stick back. Let me go behind the back. Why did I do a step back? Why did I do that?
Okay. To get around the defender.
Let me do a crossover. Let me go left to right on the analog stick. Yeah, let me do that. Let me do that. What in the hell? Why did you spin? What? I didn't want you to spin. I didn't move my analog in a circle. I didn't do that. It comes to find out, you have to put in combos. You have to do some MK level combos if you want to do a spin move. Lay it up with your left hand. You better have the stat to fill it out too. If you don't have that stat above an 85, you bet your green bar is about as short as your patience. Promise. You're not getting that. You're not getting it. Oh, and speaking of the green bar, if you don't hit that green bar, you're not making that shot, bucko. You're not. You could be Kobe Bryant hitting a fadeaway right off the elbow, directly, hands up, free, nobody around. Doink! Nothing, because you got slightly early, bitch. That's it. And that's it. It is the worst game ever I've ever touched. I refunded it. It was $20. I refunded $20 on the Baller Edition. I should have known that there was a problem if the special edition of your game is on sale, but the base game is not. That is a problem, and you need to address it. However, on to another. Speaking of best sports games, let's talk college football. Let's get into who... I'm going to let you know right now, I'm bringing Tulane back to the SEC, and I'm beating Bama all day. Let you know.
Okay, we got Noah with Tulane. Chad said he's going to go with Kennesaw State.
That's right.
Kennesaw State. Who are you rocking with, Josh? Who are you rocking with?
I'll go with Noah's fantasy team. I'll go with Presbyterian. The Blue Hoes.
They're going to have like FCS teams, aren't they? Like,
oh, that's right. They're not having FCS teams. It's going to be a DLC.
All right, well, then I'm taking Kentucky, DLC. And I'm moving them out of the SEC.
There you go.
So we can actually maybe get, you know, maybe get a little better bowl game, or maybe actually make it to the championship.
When you can't beat them, run away.
Exactly. That's the right mindset right there.
As long as he didn't beat him, join him and run Bama, that's all that matters to me.
Oh, that is right. So, I mean, obviously, it's been, you know, 10 years. A little more?
Hang on. We gotta figure out the smartest man of the group and where he's going. Where's Devin gonna be recruiting his players?
I'm going to Colorado State just so I can shut Deion up and get him fired.
That's priority number one.
That was an electric game. I gotta set the record straight on that one.
That was one of the best college football games I've ever watched. I can confirm that.
Yeah, it is crazy.
It has been 10 years, 10 long, long years. And I will be the first, and I will look at the camera and tell you thank you to whoever made College Football Revamp for as long as you did. Thank you. You are an angel. And I cannot wait to see what they do with this game. They've said it's not like Madden. I've looked at the animations, like the polygons and all that. Like, oh my gosh, it actually looks okay. I pray they don't do anything wrong with this game.
Is it going to be a PC release? Is it console only?
I'm thinking it is PC and console.
It would be absurd if they didn't. But
yeah, I was about to say.
You can never trust.
I just hope they do it like 2K or Madden, where it's a terrible port into PC and it's just not even able to run or anything.
Right. I mean, I'm excited for the online franchise mode. I mean, I remember Josh and I used to run that back in the day. It was a little two-man dynasty. We tried to get a four-man this time, so.
Oh, boy.
That'd be exciting, yes, sir.
We're going to run each other into the playoff and see which one gets it.
we might have to do that and record a couple games and throw them out there.
The games, yeah.
It could be fun.
Make your bets.
Yeah. No, I mean, the only worries I have is that it's EA Sports, obviously. And as we know, over the years, EA Sports has fallen off. Every Madden game, copy, paste for like the last 7 years. So I am a little bit worried. I know they've promised it's not going to be like Madden. But after trusting EA's promises in the past, I don't really trust them. So it's going to be one of those things I'm going to have to play and figure out my own opinion once I get it in my hands.
I would like to say the commercial trailer that was launched for it, the guy in the middle of the Rose Bowl like that was very fire for such a pretty early announcement of the game. I will give you credit. That commercial makes me want May to hurry up, and I want more info immediately. Like, I'm begging for more, so I will give them credit. The production crew did its job.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, obviously, football's coming back. Do we think in the future there'll be another NCAA basketball game?
Oh gosh!
That would be immaculate.
Me and Devin about sometime last year, I ran a emulator of College Hoops 2K8. I'm like, and we've recreated some random bracket. I think what was it? The 20?
It's like the 2021 bracket.
Yeah,
played in 2008. Gameplay is horrific in that game. I mean, college football at least had like great gameplay. The gameplay in college basketball is terrible, but it's fun. And maybe you get to shoot around with some Blake Griffin again at the loading screen. You know?
I played the older one. I did Carmelo Anthony on the PS2 cover. That was me all day, every day. Yeah. And Jay Williams on, I know, two, faux pas to mention Duke player, but Jay Williams 2K1. That was GOAT game two. So, or 2K2. I may be misquoting, but I hope they bring back the college game.
I remember one of my biggest regrets to this day. At first, I didn't regret it because I was a high schooler and I was making a little bit of money. But now, as an adult, one of my biggest regrets was selling NCAA basketball 2010 to Devin.
I'll sell it back to you if you want it.
I know. It's probably tripled in price by this point. But no, it was the worst decision of my life, just walking through that. I mean, I remember that day so vividly. Like, just I had NCAA basketball 2010 in my backpack, and I was like, this is the last time I'm ever going to hold this incredible game. And then, you know, we meet up at the top of the stairs in the high school. There you go. Devin hands me my money. Yeah. And then
I still play it. I'll give it back to you.
Hey, it's just like every romance where you don't get the girl in the end. So that's what it was like. But in this case, I was giving her up. I was like, hey, you know, you take her. I don't want her. So, but I do regret it. So, terrible, terrible.
I hope that $20 was worth it.
I think I paid more than 20.
I think he gave me 40. Yeah.
I get those games are not cheap, bro.
I know
are definitely not cheap.
I don't know what it's worth now, but it's probably like 100. It's got to be.
So. Yeah, it's probably something.
It's an antique.
It's vintage. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, we're hyped for more NCAA football to come out. Like I said, we might record some games, do like a little four-man dynasty franchise league for you guys. Gonna be fun. Since we were just talking about basketball, let's talk a little more about basketball. I might put the logo up on the screen for you guys to see here. But the Clippers, they just came out with a new logo. Mixed reviews. I didn't know it was supposed to be a boat, but now I know that. What do you guys think about the Clippers logo? Do we like it, or is it worse? Or Noah's making a
disgusting face. What the hell are you talking about? It's supposed to be a boat?
I saw it on Twitter.
A clipper is like a
It looks like a cruise ship.
Yeah, it's like a big ship. Yeah.
Is that what a clipper is?
That is what a clipper is.
I've went my whole almost 25 years of life, I never knew because the logos never included what a clipper was. So like I didn't know that it was an actual object. Wow. Okay.
Noah thought they were a bunch of barbers.
I swear, I thought it was going to be like a Shears logo or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but what do you think? Do we think it's ugly? Do we think it's good?
It's definitely ugly. What was the old logo? Like with the little basketball and the little wind at the background?
LAC garbage.
No, I'm talking about like the really old one.
The one that was like elongated.
Yeah. I don't know. They've never really had like a good logo to me. I kind of like that one, but at the same time, it's like not that good. So their logos never appealed to me. This is no different. Their best logo is probably the previous LAC thing. That was kind of cool, but like, you know, what logo do you do for a Clipper? I don't understand it. That's why they're never relevant and they never will be.
I will say the jersey designs, they're better. I do like the jerseys. I'm a big fan. I like the way, especially the white on white. Big fan of the white on white.
I just refuse to believe that's like the best option they have. Like, there's gotta be somebody that can come up with anything better. There's just like, it's like trying to do too much while also being like terrible simultaneously. Like if it's gonna be like elaborate or like have like a compass in it and like a little basketball lines and like, and you're gonna put LA's like Clippers on around, like, just I like simplicity, but if you're gonna go with complex, like at least make it look decent. You have a lot to work with. And instead, they just failed on all accounts, so. But, I mean, somehow it's still an upgrade over their other, like, the logo they currently have, I think. Like, I think that's the weird part, is, like, I probably still prefer this logo, so, I mean, you go from an F to a D-, congrats.
D's get degrees. Or it might be C's get degrees now, I don't know.
It's C's get
degrees now, but it used to be D's. But, no, I kind of agree. If you're going to do the boat thing, I think you need to lean into it a little more. Make it look cool, don't just make it subtle like that. Like, it's just a very, very bland, basic logo to me. And I don't really like the way that the C wraps around the boat either. I think it's just they're trying to keep a little bit of their old logo in it somehow, and I think it just doesn't really work all that well. But who knows? Maybe new logo means they'll win some more games.
We're calling it a boat. Like, are we sure that's a boat? Or, like, what?
It's got to be a boat, yeah. That's what the Clipper is.
It looks like a cruise ship. Like, I mean,
yeah, that's what it is.
I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah. When I
see the Clippers compass logo, I just never know what I'm looking at. That's the bottom line.
I personally can't wait for the court design if that's what it's going to be like right here. So that's going to be a sight for sore eyes.
You know, maybe in a way they're foreshadowing because they're not going to end up winning the finals, and then everybody's going to get to go on an early cruise.
Somebody's going to Cancun.
They're going to Cancun. That's right. That's right. All right. So that wraps up Clippers talk. Let us know what you think about that logo. Do you like it? Do you not? Who knows? And let's get into our next little piece here. So last week on our episode, Chad started doing his movie suggestions, and he threw out Mrs. Doubtfire, starring Robin Williams. And you know, I didn't do my homework, but luckily enough, Devin did. He watched the movie. Let's hear the review, Devin.
Yeah, so I, unlike some people on this podcast, actually did the homework and took Chad's movie suggestion to heart and watched it. And, you know, I watched it. That's about all I can say. I mean, it was all right. Like, it was definitely, if you gave me Devin's movie segment, definitely not, like, a first movie I would ever recommend. But, I mean, it was fine. Like, it was comedic. Like, Robin Williams is a good actor. I mean, it was definitely not as good as his performance in Good Will Hunting. Chad's insane for that take, but you know, it's fine. If you watch it, you'll enjoy yourself. You'll laugh a little bit. You'll say it's the most predictable plot of all time. You'd be correct. That's about all I got.
Yeah, that sounds like to me, we just hate having fun. We hate having fun movies and, you know, just enjoying ourselves and having a good time.
But I mean, but like, there's nothing special. There's no like aha moment or like emotional moment.
Yes, there is.
Or like, no, there's not.
Yes, there is.
Am I supposed to be like, oh, the family actually found out that he's actually robbed, like the husband? Like, oh, that was so unpredictable. I thought it was going to go the whole movie, and them never realized. No. Like, what?
No. I thought you meant not like aha. I thought. I see what you mean. I will refrain from making my comment. Because that is true. That's very true.
And then you got, like, the new TV show, and he's like, Mrs. Doubtfire. That part was terrible, but, like...
Oh, yeah. No, that was such a nice little ending. No, a sweet was, ending with...
No.
Yeah.
The good ending was, like, him picking up his kids, but, like... Yeah, no. Nah, I mean, it was fine. It was 3 stars. It was a good 3-star movie. It was the pinnacle of a 3-star movie. Good, nothing great.
Great, nothing good.
Okay. All right, well... I would just love to know this week's suggestion, Chad. I really would.
Hey, we can only go up from here, right, Josh? It can only get better from here.
It can only get up. Oh, my gosh. I'm ready. Let's go, Chad.
Well, I would like to think so. This next movie is one that I do have a lot higher in my rankings. And it is one that both Josh and Devin have confirmed seen. I don't know about Noah. Noah says he's seen like 7 movies, but he's seen like, you know, 27. That's what it sounds like, because he's like, oh, I've seen that.
Because you'll need told me that I remember, and I'm like, oh, okay. Because
I remember that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, here we go. Next movie, week 2. Or week 72, whatever this is, episode. My movie this week is Whiplash. All right, I got...
Okay!
I got 2 rounds of applause.
Okay,
Devin, I knew I would get this reaction. This is why I did it. Okay. I knew I would get this reaction. Me and Josh love this movie with all our hearts, and Devin's just like, it's not for me.
Oh,
this is only a stop for me comment.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because it's not.
Chad with a banger. Chad with a banger this week. Oh, my gosh.
What's not to like?
You can't get better than that movie. I mean, Miles Teller, J.K. Simmons... J.K. Simmons, holy, what a performance.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Technically beautiful, script great. I mean, the ending is phenomenal. I don't know, it's just a great movie. Hats off.
It sounds like the greatest movie of all time from how much hype I'm hearing in my ear. Like,
top 5.
It's not. It's
top 5.
We're going to mute Devin.
It's Damien Chazelle. It's completely
Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, folks, you all don't know this, but Josh loves movies so much that he pays for a Regal membership card. And goes out and sees movies. So, for him to say Whiplash is top 5 for him is quite a statement. So, I'm really got to understand why he's saying this. So, please tell me why this is so profound in your guys' life.
Bro, really outing my subscriptions like that, eh?
Man.
I'm just saying, your Regal movie subscription.
The next thing you know, he's going to say, I've gone to see a couple movies by myself. I have, and it's a good time. It's a good time. It's therapeutic. It's nice. No, like I was saying, like the cast is great. I mean, that really drove Miles Teller's career, and obviously you've seen him in other things like Top Gun Maverick and, you know, other movies, and obviously J.K. Simmons, you know, he was hands down the best part of the movie. I mean, he kind of reminded me of my old high school band days, and probably Chad a little bit too. We had a pretty
That's
terrible band director. That's the problem. Yeah, Devin's got PTSD from
you don't want to be reminded of that.
That one guy, we won't say him, but... No, I mean, the movie looks great. The music was awesome. Miles Teller was great. J.K. Simmons was great. Like, hats off to Chad. I want to hear why Chad picked it, though. I mean, obviously, coming off of Mrs. Doubtfire. Crazy jump.
Yes. So, first of all, it's a movie about, like, this jazz band, right? You don't have to like jazz, you don't have to like band, you don't even have to like music to like this movie is just the storyline of, you know, how what's his name, I don't even know, Neiman, is that what he calls, yells Neiman like 500 times in the movie. But yeah, when Miles Teller, he's competing with these other guys trying to get, you know, the top jazz class and stuff, and then J.K. Simmons is just this ruthless director that's making kids, you know, kill themselves. But yeah, you know, that's another subplot. But yeah, just him, the way he, his demeanor of himself, his facial expressions, his tone, his volume, his lines, his lines were well written, and he was able to, you know, deliver them superbly. That's why he won Best Supporting Actress Best Supporting Actor for that year. But yeah, I was just like waiting for him to like, you know, yell at me through the screen. I was kind of scared of him. And now, like, every time I see him in another movie, I'm waiting for that, you know, Mr. Fletcher character to come out, you know, when I see him in other movies. But yeah, this movie basically put Miles Teller, exploded his career, put him on the map. He's become one of my favorite actors now. I can't wait to see him in more movies going forward. The way Miles Teller's character, he loses like his humanity. He drives that rental car, forgets his drumsticks at the rental place, drives back and like gets in a car wreck. He's all bloodied up and injured. He runs to the, you know, the concert hall and then ready to go on stage and perform. And he's just like, you know, just all injured and bleeding everywhere. And, you know, J.K. Simmons is like, what on earth? And then, yeah, you know, it's just the whole like thing. It's just, I loved it. I was into it. The movie flies by. It's not very long, but, you know, it's a good watch.
I guess I'm actually going to have to participate in homework then. Devin, are you doing it?
I've already seen it, unfortunately.
So this is me. This is me this week.
No, I did not just say unfortunately.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say unfortunately. But
I said it. That's me.
I got to hear Devin's take on it now.
Through it. I mean, the performances are good. It just doesn't resonate with me. It's more of a personal thing than like a... like actual like movie technical perspective. It's just Damien Chazelle not that good. I just hate the like portrayal of like all that stuff and like, oh, this stuff's like, oh, you, even though you got a car crash, you need to be here, like all that, like, no, like that just pisses me off. Like, it's just not how it should be. I don't know.
No,
it's
just, but like, that just shows his dedication, though. That's the whole thing.
And he's like, and then there's like this girl that like is in there for a couple scenes. And he's like, oh, I love you, but I gotta give you up so I can pursue this dumb passion of mine. Like, no, what are you doing, bro? Like, get out of here. Like, no.
Oh God, I am not looking forward to this.
No, it's a good movie. It's like an objectively good movie. It's just not a Devin movie.
I can confidently say you will like it. You will like it.
Me? You think I will like it? Yes. I'm a big J.K. Simmons guy, but I'm, like, iffy on Miles.
It's about, you love jazz music, too.
I do. I do love jazz. I like jazz. One, yes. Oh, okay.
This is the one.
I just, like, but, like, I'm iffy on Miles. Like, War Dogs Miles Teller, I'm a big fan, but not, I don't know.
No, I'll just, I'll say this. You don't have to like, I said this before, I'll say it again. You don't have to like jazz, you don't have to like music. The movie itself, like, if you can get past that, it's just really good. And the performances by, you know, Miles Teller and J.K. Simmons are what made it for me. So if you can, I know you said you're not a big Miles Teller guy, I guess. I couldn't be me, but if this movie doesn't change your mind, then I don't know what will.
Yeah, he's okay. One on that take.
Like I said, I haven't watched a lot of movies, and Miles Teller is not in the ones that I have seen, so... I said iffy on him. It doesn't mean I don't like the guy or discredit his talent.
Alrighty. Well, we'll see if Noah watches it. We'll see if you guys watch it. Let us know what you think about that in the comments of this video or email us as well. Tweet us if you want. But yeah, let's move on to our last segment here. Obviously, last week we gave out some plays that we liked. Now, and this is in no way gambling or financial advice, so bet at your own risk, obviously. We're going to throw out some plays for you guys again that we personally like. You don't have to take them. We're not saying take them. But we're going to give you our plays. So, boys, what do we got? Who wants to start?
I mean, I started last week, so I can start again this week. I got another future banger for you. I came loaded with two futures to start the pod. I gave you one last week. Marlins under 78.5. If you haven't locked it in already, it's still -105. Go ahead and grab it. But we got another future. This time we're going with college basketball. got a little national championship future for you. I'm a big fan. This team, I think they hit all of the metrics you want to see. Iowa State to win the national championship, plus 2,200 currently over on DraftKings. What is Josh looking at? What are you looking for?
I think he's trying to find your sanity.
That's my exactly sanity. What I'm looking for. Yeah, I need a telescope out here. I can't find it.
I mean, I guess Josh hates having a team that is 40th in KenPom adjusted offense and 3rd in KenPom defense. So I mean, the metrics, advanced metrics, love them. I mean, they have a solid resume. They got away wins at TCU and at Texas. They got a good roster with some experience between Lipsy, Robert Jones, Ward, and then Milan Momcilovic off the bench, freshman and a sniper shooter. Love that guy. He's gonna be fantastic. I think the style just works well in the tournament. You know, just keep suppress the other team and play good defense. I mean, I think relying on high power offense get you in the Alabama Sweet 16 upsets. But I think when you have a solid defense like Iowa State does, they got a big game this weekend, so hopefully they could win that one. But I think plus 2,200 for possibly a 2 seed. Probably as good as you're going to get this time of year. So, let's see.
Yeah, I disagree or anything. I could be convinced. It's just that it was more of a shock thing for me. It was like hearing Mrs. Doubtfire. You know, it was just kind of like, oh boy, wow, that was not what I was expecting.
Where'd that come from?
This is the point where in the group chat we would send the Fairly Odd Parents shoveling money into the fire GIF.
All right. I got it 30 to 1.
So making donations to Vegas. All right, Chad, what do you got for this week?
All right, well, last week we had a couple MLB futures. I was not prepared. This week I'm prepared, and I have one for you. So last year, as the guys on this podcast know, I hit the MLB saves leader bet with Emmanuel Clase. I didn't do any research on it at all. I just had a boost, and I was like, oh, Clase, he's a good closer. So I put like $20 on him, and it ended up winning. So I'm going to run that pick back this year. But I'm not going Clase. I'm not even going Josh Hader. I'm going with the Giants closer, Camilo Doval. And the reason being is he's like a new Noah likes it. Noah likes it.
Big Doval guy.
Yeah, Noah's a big Doval guy.
Yes. Yeah. So he's currently listed at 3rd in odds at 8-1 behind Hader and Clase. But he's this young up and coming guy that just came into the league a couple years ago. And the Giants as a team had more saves, like as a team, than Cleveland did. I think he finished like 5 saves behind Clase last year. But there were times or a point in the season where, you know, Doval just wouldn't go away. Clase would get one, Doval would get 2. He would just like slowly creep back up. He'd take the lead. Clase would take the lead. He was right there. He could have won it last year. That's where I'm going with this year. I like the Giants to be in more closer games than Cleveland this upcoming year. So grab Doval at plus 800, saves leader.
I'm just going to say, if you're betting him plus 800, you might as well hop on over to DraftKings and get him at plus 1500 on DraftKings. I don't know where getting plus 800, but you're getting robbed.
You're getting scammed.
Yeah, you're getting scammed. They're robbing you blind.
Well, that would be FanDuel doing all the robbery then.
Checks out.
Okay, you know, even better, 1500 on DraftKings.
There you go. I wanted to go look at the odds. I'm like, where's it getting 8-1?
If you don't have DraftKings, set up an account right now and do it. Yeah, it's better anyway than FanDuel. I don't know why I was looking at FanDuel.
So, I have a bet. The odds are not out yet. It's for a Saturday game. So for the listeners of the Friday night and Friday afternoon and Saturday morning podcast listeners, this one is for you when it goes live. But we're going to take Flyers Saturday against Sins. I would love to ask if Devin and Chad know why I'm putting this bet out there, because they're big guys on the reason on this is my main pick. Korpisalo is in the Nets. Korpisalo has lost the last 5 games. that he's been in the pipes for. He's 13-19-3 with a .887 save percentage. The only thing he's good at is maybe getting a save, if he is able to. I know Devin has a future right now for 1,200 saves with Corpusalo. I think he only needs like 250 more or so. So I wouldn't even be confident in such a low number with 24, 25 games left in the season. But who knows what could happen. Probably will, knowing Devin's luck. But I'm just saying, with against those numbers and the Flyers and how young and how good they're going against, and it's the second night of a back-to-back as well, I'm absolutely all over Flyers money line for sins.
You know the best part. You know the best part about Corpusalo, Noah.
Oh, please enlighten my ears.
If you go look at the advanced numbers and you go look at goal saves above expected, you know where you'll find Corpusalo. All the way at the bottom of the list. Dead last. Worst in national hockey in goals saved above expected. I mean, dude just lets pucks in left and right. I mean, there was one game he let a puck in like 8 seconds into the game. Like, did you not know the puck drop started? Like, I it's just unbelievable. So, he's good for at least like 4 goals allowed. And, you know, hopefully Hart can help the Flyers on the other end. So,
I've never even touched the rink a day in my life. And, I probably could have hit something in the five hole against them. Promise. I promise I would.
All right. Well, let's finish this off here. Last week, I gave some golf picks.
Did anyone win? I forget.
Oh, okay. No, they didn't. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, but, okay.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm Salvation Army. Appreciate your donation.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. No problem. But I will say.
He hit one 2 weeks ago.
I did win 2 weeks ago. And off podcast, I was even talking to Devin about Jake Knapp. I should have said it. Hand up.
That's true. I can't.
We can't attest to that.
Hand up. I should have said it. But this week we got the Honda Classic. Actually, now it's called the Cognizant Classic. That awful name, if you ask me. But I got 4 picks here.
That's you.
4 guys. Oh, thank you.
4 picks. Okay.
4 picks. Four
get
picks.
Your pens out. Get your pens out.
Get your pens out. Write these down. You might pull up a little Microsoft Word document, if you will. Yeah. So first guy I've got is +2,800. He's one of the favorites, Eric Cole. Now, I do just want to throw out there that all 4 of these guys are great putters. This is a special kind of grass they got going on at this course, and you're going to need a good putter because the balls aren't going to be rolling that well. So you're going to need these guys who are good at putting. A couple things about Eric Cole. He plays really well with his putter. Like I said, he's a little rusty off the tee, but you know, with wide fairways in this course, I think it's going to be fine with him. And last year at this same event, he went into a playoff and lost to Chris Kirk. So he's been there. He's been at the top of the leaderboards. I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes at the top and wins it this year. Second guy we got here, Devin's guy. He's a big guy. He's been on him a couple times. Stefan Jaeger, +4,000. Another guy, great putter. Currently, he is 10th in putting averages, so you know he's obviously got consistency there with the putter, and he also got 3rd just recently at the Mexico Championship, so he is on a bit of a heater right now. So this would be his heat check. Can he, you know, bump it up to 1st? I don't hate it. I like the odds, +4,000, good odds. Next guy, we have Matthew Pavon, +5,500. All right. Devin's making some faces. Maybe he likes it.
There's not a name I've ever heard out of Josh's mouth before.
No. But let me tell you why, Devin. And if you can't tell what the theme is, it's his putting. He is a great putter. Currently, he is 7th in putting average. He got 3rd at Pebble Beach, and he won at the Farmers Insurance. So he's off to a banging start this year. And for some reason, he's +5,500 on this. In this event, like, I don't get it. Like, the card's not that great. He should be higher. I love those odds. Definitely take him there. And then last guy we got, my long shot, +8,000, Davis Thompson. What's the theme? Putting. Top 20 in putting average. Yep, and he's been top 30 in the last 2 events. He's only looking better. +8,000, I love those odds. Take any 4 of those guys, you know, to win, top 10. I'm confident, you know, that one of those is going to hit. So, yeah, definitely look out for them. They're all good putters. We'll see how it goes. We'll review next week, see if we finally get one.
Sounds like a lot of fish food. I don't know.
Oh, what? Oh, wait, no, we're eating steaks. We're eating steaks, man. It's going to be good. We're going to be making money. We're going to be fine whining and dining.
Josh took a golf pick and didn't pick Rory. What?
I know. Rory was like minus 1,000 to be on Josh's betting card this week. So.
Okay, I lost
that play already.
I'm a Rory guy. I'm a big.
But you are a pick. The shortest favorite of the card.
No. I'm also not that. I am a.
I'll tell you credit for that.
I'll tell you what I am. I am a Scotty Scheffler guy, and he just happens to be the favorite on every single event he's in. So that's why it seems like that.
And nobody's the worst best player in their sport than Scotty Scheffler.
That's true. But he's consistently top 10. Like, I've never seen anybody be. Right at the top so many times.
Yeah, he's always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Couldn't have said it better. But, yeah, those are our picks, everybody. So, like I said, bet them if you want to. Not gambling advice, not financial advice. Bet at your own risk. I think that that about does it. Devin, you want to wrap this episode up for us?
Yes, sir. So if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and press that subscribe button. And if you're listening to us on podcasts on Apple or Spotify or somewhere else you get your podcast, feel free to go ahead and check us out. You can find us on socials at FTSPod. We'll be on Twitter and Instagram. We got TikTok going. We're going to start pumping out some TikTok, some short-form content, maybe some YouTube shorts. So be on the lookout for all of that. If you watch Mrs. Doubtfire, or you're thinking about watching Whiplash now, or you want to tell me that I'm not crazy, then it's not that good. Go ahead and leave us an email at theftspod@gmail.com.
Bye. Have a great time.
Bye. Have a great time.